feeling that blessing today, church? You feeling the blessing today, church? Hallelujah. We're in a sermon series called Thoughts. Today, the title is I Thought. I thought it was going to be warmer today when I woke up. I thought it wasn't going to rain the other day. You know, a lot of those times we say, I thought, it's about disappointment. And as soon as we say, I thought, in disappointment, the scripture that Paul writes about that says, I am able, God is able to do abundantly more than you ever ask. You've just minimized it. And then we forget about the next couple words. Abundantly more than you ever ask or think. Think. Before you even thought it, God thought it. Before you even said, I just thought it was going to be better, God laid out a plan to fix it. Before you experienced a marriage situation, God had already planned on your recovery. And so we live on this I thought moment. Too long, church. I'm tired of living on the I thought moment. It's time to get the blessing that we just sang about and start putting the I thought moments behind us and say, I believe God said. I believe God prepared. I believe God's got this. I believe. Cross Point Church, is there anybody here with me? Yeah, give him praise today. Give him praise. I believe it. Hallelujah, Father. Lord God, I am sorry. I say I thought in disappointment. Oh God, forgive me today. Lord God, let me leave here today not saying that anymore. Let me leave today saying I know I serve a risen Savior. Lord God, for the many people that walked into Cross Point today and they're watching online, Father, that are staying in their head, I thought, Lord God, make that transformation in their mindset today. Let them walk out or shut off that device today and say, I know because God said. I believe because God said. I receive because God said. That's what we need today, Lord. Father God, pour out that power today in Cross Point Church and everybody watching online today, Lord. Lord God, change our thoughts today. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Cross Point Church, look at somebody and say, I'm going to get my thoughts changed today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rev. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Good morning, Cross Point Church. There it is. That is the church I know and love. Wow, we had a time on Wednesday night. Cross Point Church was live. We were praying and singing and praising. If you missed it, shame on you. You missed out on a blessing. Don't miss out on that blessing any longer. Thank you, Pastor Mike and Christine, Pastor Nicole, and all you that had something going on with that service that night. I got the night off. I thought I was going to get the night off, and I got the night off. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Maya. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hey, thank you so much for coming into Cross Point Church. I'm seeing people I haven't seen for a while. Wow, I'm so encouraged to see you today. Thank you so much if you're watching online. So many people joining us online today. Thank you so much for tuning in to Cross Point Church in Canton, Ohio. Again, as you know, we're the vacation capital of the world here in Canton, so you want to join in on a Sunday morning. I saw many of you this morning tuning in from all over the country, so thank you so much for that. How many are just can't wait for the warmer weather, like I said, right? I admit, I said it this past week. I probably even said it today. I thought it was going to be warmer. Shame on me for saying that, because you're going to learn today that we should not be saying, I thought, like that, right? We are in a series called Thoughts. Now, I appreciate some of your thoughts. Some of them, not so much, right? Right? We say that all the time, right? Well, thank you for that thought. What you really mean is, I don't want to hear it again, right? But we are in a series called Thoughts, and we are in the early months of Crosspoint Church's Year of Impact. We are going to make the biggest impact for Jesus Christ we have ever made as a church, and that means you have to agree and walk in impact in 2025, because impact requires a change in your thoughts. Change in your thoughts. The first week, let's do a review, because some of you weren't here last week. First week, we talked about I am thinking. Do we think like God? How does God think? Before we can say, yep, Pastor, I think like God, we've got to say, well, how does God think? The first thing Jesus preached wasn't about his miracles, blessings, or prosperity, or anything else. Jesus launched his public ministry and told us we got to change the way we think. You thought this way, now I'm here to help you think differently. I'm here to help you think differently. Three ways our thoughts differ from God's, where we are thinking short-term. God thinks long-term. We think comfort, desires, and success, but he thinks love, service, and sacrifice. We think, what's in it for me? Kind of human nature. God says, what's in it for him? Right? It's just kind of human nature sometimes. We say, well, what's in it for me? I tell you, that's probably a phrase I've heard more in my lifetime than any other phrase. Well, what's in it for me? I don't know if God really cares, as long as there's something in it for him, right? Last week, we taught you something about what's on your mind, right? Now, the phrase, what's on your mind, is not verbatim in God's word. It's not in there. But it's the catchphrase, kind of, that God used to ask people questions all throughout the Old Testament and into the New. And today, he may use things like that through his Holy Spirit to tap you on the shoulder and say, what's on your mind? It's a dialogue he's trying to get you to start thinking about and talking with him about. What's on your mind today, Pastor? What are you thinking? Where's your faith? Where's your life headed? Pastor, are you listening today? What's really on your mind? Come to me with what's on your mind. And we talked about those questions last week, right? It's an open-ended question requiring us to come back to heaven and start talking. As we learned from Pastor Mike and the team on Wednesday night, God wants to hear us. He wants to have a conversation with you. The very first what's on your mind question showed up in Genesis 3:9. God called to man, where are you? That truly is a what's on your mind question, because Adam had sinned and done exactly what God told him not to do, and he was hiding, and God's saying, okay, what's on your mind? See, when you read it, we kind of divert to a physical location. He was hiding. That would say that God didn't know where he was when he says, where are you? It's not where his physical location is. It's what's on your mind. And why are you hiding? Where are you spiritually, Adam? Why are you doing exactly what I told you not to do? He's hiding. Same thing shows up later. In 1 Kings 19:9, Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Hiding in a cave. Queen Jezebel wanted to kill him. He takes off running. Physically and spiritually, he's out of here. He ends up hiding in the cave, and God shows up. What are you doing here? I have so many more plans for you, and you're hiding in a cave. What is on your mind, Elijah? What are you doing? You could stay in the cave and get nothing, or you can get going and get something. What did he do? The Bible says he got going. Sometimes we need those shake-up moments, right? We learned last week that emotions affect what's on our mind. Emotions shape how we view the world, think about information, make decisions. It influences our memory recall, attention, and reasoning. Man, that's too much, right? How we feel alters how we interpret situations. And we learned that men express emotions more in anger than women do. And we learned last week that women express their emotions more in love. Now, that doesn't mean that men are more angry than women, nor does it mean that women are more loving than men. It just means they express themselves more this way. It doesn't mean that's how they are, right? So that person that called me this past week and said, well, I'm loving, my husband is not. It's not right, right? It's not accurate. Right, we learned that. But today, we're going to dive into our third week of the series on thoughts, and we're going to talk about I thought. Now, everybody says I thought. Everybody here, everybody in the worship center, everybody watching online, you cannot say to me today, Pastor, I have never said I thought. Some of you say that more than others, right? It's kind of like a catchphrase, like I said. It's kind of like something we hold on to. I thought, right? I thought that dress would look better on you than it really does. That's not a good thought, right? That's not a thought us guys want to say to our wives. I thought the dress looked better. Does it look like I lost 10 pounds? I thought it did. That's not what, right? I thought. Sometimes the thought could get you in trouble. What does it mean? It means I believed, I assume, I was under the impression, right? It's like a past mental judgment on the situation. It's an assumption. It's an expectation. I thought something was going to happen. It could be right or wrong, but we're still saying I thought. I thought I was going to be more spiritual than I am today. Let me give you some past examples. Now, when you're expressing the past, like something in the past, you say, I thought you were coming to church today. I thought you were coming to church. Maybe if you're confused, you would say, I thought church was canceled. Now listen, the pastor rarely cancels church, right? I just canceled church this past few weeks ago for snow for Wednesday night. Well, it's temperature, I think, is more than snow. I think that was the second time in, what, Nick, 10 years, 15 years that I've ever canceled a service. No, I don't do it. What about disagreement? I thought we agreed the pastor was right. Right? Of course he is. What about disappointment? I thought the pastor's message could have been better. I hear that all the time, right? Right? That's what I hear, right? Oh, I thought it could have been better. It's good. It could have been better, I thought. What about clarification? I thought you said you were leaving earlier. What about regret? I thought I was doing the right thing, but as it turned out, I wasn't. But I thought I was, so that's okay. See how that thought thing gets in your way? I thought you're going to learn some things today, church, about how dangerous that phrase is, I thought. And what God's word says about it, it's in the Bible over 100 times. There's either a direct reference to the word I thought. Yeah, I is a, the letter I is a word if it's in a sentence. So there's two words, right? I thought. Or there's a reference to the person was thinking something and they said I thought. They may not have said the words I thought, but the reference over 100 times. So I think God thinks there's some importance there, right? Well, first, it's in God's word, so it's got to be important, but it's mentioned over 100 times in reference to I thought, so it's got to be even more important than what you thought it was, right? Jonah 4, 1 through 2, he says, I thought Nineveh didn't deserve mercy. God says, go to Nineveh, preach the gospel. They are in need of compassion. What's his thought process? I didn't think. I thought they didn't need it. I don't think they need it. And what did he do? He didn't go. And what ended up happening, right? If you know the story, right? Somebody scream it out. Got swallowed up by the great fish, right? What about Peter, the disciple who walked on water for a brief time? In Matthew 26, 33 through 35, his reference of the I thought moment shows up. I thought I would never deny Jesus. Even though I did, I thought I never would do it. But I did it anyhow. I distinctly remember saying I would never do it. I thought I would never do it, and I did it anyways. You remember the story in the Old Testament, and David is rising to kingship, right? It's a process of rising to kingship. It doesn't happen overnight, even though maybe he thought he wanted it to happen overnight. The other king, the king that was sitting king, Saul, he's declining. He started off really good. I'm sure he thought he was going to be a great king all the days of his life. He started good and it kind of went downhill. You remember the story, right? Kind of went downhill. So he's kind of declining and God's picking David to do an incline. In 1 Samuel 16, the chapter 16 all the way through 31 is a story. But the thought goes like this. It says, I thought the anointing would mean instant success, David. I thought that all I had to do is get anointed as king and I would be good. And so he gets anointed as king and then gets sent back out into the field to shepherd the flock. I thought I would be an instant king. And I would have instant success. God so said it. He picked me to do it. So I thought that's all I needed. But the process started back out in the field. I thought I was done with these stinky sheep. I thought I was done with this job. I thought I was out of here. I thought this situation was over. I thought I would never have to see that person again, ever. What happens? Man, he shows up at church. I thought I'd never see him again. I thought I'd never see her again. I thought. Doesn't it seem like every time we do that, God just comes in and says, well, if that's what you think, here you go. Right? Something happens, something shows up, some situation happens, right? I'm going to tell you a story about a guy named Naaman today. Now, Naaman is the commander in the Old Testament. We'll get to the scripture in a minute because it's lengthy, so you're going to have to read along on the screen or on your Bibles. But the story of Naaman is he's the commander of the Syrian army. Now, in Hebrew, it's Aram. They're Armenians, right, people? But he's a commander. And he's been given accolades for being a great and mighty commander of the Syrian army. Now, the Syrians and the Israelites didn't get along. Right? They didn't get along. And he was one of those commanding officers, head of the army, that would lead their army into battle. There is a flaw in this guy, though. He had leprosy. Now, back in the Old Testament, now you're saying, right away, how could he lead the army if he had leprosy? Well, of course, it's a physical restriction. Leprosy was the disease of the day, right? The skin disease covers you. You know, it's just going to get so bad, it could be debilitating, pardon me, and just, you could be just done. Well, he had it bad. Because the Bible says he was searching for healing. So it's bad. So, Pastor, how could he be leading an army? I thought they would isolate these people and they put them in compounds, the Bible says, and they put them in gated areas, maybe outside the city. That was the Israelites. They were ceremonial unclean, right? To the Israelites. But this was Syria. So they're marching by the beat of a different drummer, different god. Aramean God. So he's still leading the army. And we're going to learn about some things about him today. Have you ever approached a situation, a person, or even God, and whispered in your heart, "I thought it would happen that way"? If we're honest, life rarely unfolds according to what we think. And nowhere is that tension clearer than in the story of Naaman. 2 Kings 5, 1 through 19. If you've got your Bibles, open them up there. If you've got your device, use that. Or you can follow on the screen behind me. But it's a tremendous story. And here's how it goes. Now, Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. That's, of course, Syria. That's Hebrew name for Syria, Aram. Aram, pardon me. He was a great man in the sight of his master, the king, and highly regarded. They liked the guy. Because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but don't you love it in the Word of God when it gives you all this cool stuff and then it says, but he had the disease of the time, leprosy. He was a leper. He was a great, valiant soldier, but he had a flaw. Verse 2, now bands of raiders from Aram, Syria, had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, a young Israelite girl. They took her. And now she served Naaman's wife as the servant girl, as a slave girl. It wasn't her first choice, but she was taken hostage. So she said to her mistress, which is, of course, Naaman's wife, if only my master, now Naaman, would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of that leprosy. Now she's talking about Elisha, the heir after Elijah. Elijah's protege, whom he mentored, and Elisha took over as a prophet. And this young girl, now held captive in this home of this commanding officer of the Syrian army that she sees has leprosy, she makes the declaration, wow, all you have to do is go see this guy. He'll take care of you. All you have to do is come down to the altar of the local church and God will show up. This young girl is saying, listen, that's all you got to do. Verse 4, Naaman went to his master, that's the king, and told him what the girl said. And so the king makes this declaration, by all means, go. Now wait, by all means, go where? To see the guy. Right? Why, he's a soldier, high up on the food chain in the Syrian army. Best friends, pretty much, with the king, because he went to the king, right? And they have a conversation. By all means. It didn't say just go. It said, by all means. Go. 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 Ever have anyone say to you, by all means? Don't you love that phrase? By all means, just do it. The king of Aram replied, I will even send a letter to the king of Israel. Now, of course, they don't get along, right? So Naaman left. By all means, go. Pastor, I'm called to be a missionary. By all means, go. This is what's going on. I got to go. By all means. I'm going to go get my healing. I will even send a letter to the king of Israel. What for? Probably safe passage into Israel, right? They're kind of fighting a lot. I'll send a letter. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Now, in a minute, you're going to find out how much that's worth. The letter he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may have a cure for him of his leprosy." Wait, why is it wait to the king? I thought you were going to see some young girl. Pardon me, the young girl sent you to see Elisha. Why are you going to see the king? Is that just a rite of passage? No, because you're going to find out it's not. And he put together all this wealth. Why? He's got to go meet the king. How much did he take with him to go meet this guy? The guy that he was not told to meet. 10 talents of silver. Remember, a talent is a unit of measure. Okay? A talent, 75 pounds. A talent. It's a unit of measure, 75 pounds. He's going to take 10 of them. 750 pounds. 750 pounds of what? Silver, first. Now, as the market closed on Friday, silver in the United States was valued at $277 a pound. I looked it up. Why? Because I thought you would want to know. How much really is it in today's money, right? So I looked it up. There's some change in there, but I didn't. That's $207,750 worth of silver he's taken with him to go meet this king, right? That's a big deal, folks. 10 talents of silver, parable of 10 talents in the New Testament, Matthew. Boy, is there a correlation coming up? Probably not today. 6,000 shekels of gold. Shekels, another unit of measure. One shekel is about 11 to 14 grams. 6,000 shekels is 66,000 to 84,000 grams of gold. Convert that to pounds, right? 145 to 185 pounds of gold. 750 pounds of silver worth $207,000, and now he's going to take a whole bunch of gold. Well, Pastor, gold's worth more than silver, right? 1 pound of gold as a close of Friday, $31,000. He's going to take with him $4.5 million to $5.7 million in gold. This guy is going to go see a king. $207,750 in silver and $5 million. Let's just round it off into about $5 million of gold. Anybody? Now see, let me tell you something. That's how you come see the pastor of the local church. Just, right? That's what you do, right? It says it right there, right? I can see it now, Pastor Mike. My door opens, and here comes someone with all this gold and silver on, like, they're, like, trucking it in. That's a godly person right there, right? But then it says in the scripture, I'm going to take 10 changes of clothes, sets of clothing. Is that for the trip? Or are you going to gift that to the king, too? 10. It just seems like, that's like, what? That's some clothes compared to gold and silver. That's a year's wages back then in clothes. 10 cents. The Bible says that's a year's wages. It's called the royal level gift offering, is what that's called. Really? It's called a royal level. What does that mean? It means I'm going to honor this guy with my wealth. And I'm going to bring a change of clothes to give him to. So all this stuff, wealth in gold and silver and some practical things, a year's worth of clothes. Give the king. I'm coming serious. Okay, got that in your head? Verse 7, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter from the king of Syria, Aram, he kind of like what? As soon as the king of Israel reads the letter, he tore his robe and said, "Am I God? Can I actually heal you? Are you crazy?" Here comes the Syrian commander, the commander of the Syrian army with his chariots, his entourage of people, 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, somewhere around $6 to $7 million, a whole bunch of clothes for his royal gift offering. And here he comes and he hands the letter to the king of Israel and he says, "You're here for a healing? Who do you think I am, God?" This guy, church, Naaman, is coming for a healing. He's coming to get something because he's going to give it first. He's going to write the check and you're going to have all this. And you go, but he's going to the wrong person. The young girl didn't so say, "Go to the king. Can I kill and bring back life?" the king says. "Why does this fellow send someone to me?" The king sends someone to me to cure them of leprosy. See how he is trying to pick a fight with me, a quarrel? He's still fighting with me, and we're still fighting. So his commander of his army shows up. He has leprosy. He wants me to cure him. Verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, of course, who the young girl said to go see, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he said, see, word gets around, folks. This was not just a little thing. This was a big entourage coming and showing up, right? With all kinds of money, guy is serious. And Elisha hears about it and hears that the king tore his clothes in just utter disgust. So Elisha sends a message. "Why have you torn your robe, king? Have the man come to me. He will then know that there is a prophet in Israel." Go see the pastor. Go see the pastor. He'll pray for you. Go see Pastor Mike. Go see one of the pastors. They'll pray for you. Go on to Wednesday. The pastor will be there. He'll pray for you. Elisha says, "Come to me. You'll know then that there's somebody of substance here. You don't need to go take all this stuff to that king. Just come to my house. Have the man come to me." Verse 9, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots. See, you thought I was just kidding you. And stopped at the door of Elisha's house. He's got all his wealth and all his entourage. He's going to get his healing. This is the guy this girl told me about that's serving my wife back home. This is what I'm going to go and get it. I went to the wrong guy. Right? He went with horses and chariots, stopped at Elisha's house, and then Elisha sends a messenger down to the front door. Elisha didn't come down? Nope. Nope. The power of God didn't need Elisha to come to the front door, church. Right? Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the filthy Jordan River." Doesn't say filthy, but you got to find out that's kind of what it is. "And your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." Church, I'm going to tell you something. I'm organizing a missions trip. All those that need healed will go with the pastor, and we're going to the Jordan River, right? Because that's where you got to go. And we're going to dip ourselves 7 times in the Jordan River, and we're going to get cleansed. You believe that? "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and it will be cleansed." Verse 11, but Naaman went away angry. He's not happy. And the phrase shows up that I've been telling you about for several minutes. I thought. This guy came with all his wealth. He went by the king. He tried to get the king to heal him. He's going down to this guy who says, "You Just come to my house. And the girl tells him to go to the house. And he gets there and he knocks. And you can just see it in your mind's eye. Pounded on the door, and the door opens and it's a messenger. Who are you? I'm the messenger of Elijah. I don't know. He sent me. But I got all my chariots here, and I've got $5.5 million of gold and silver and clothes for a year. I got all the stuff. I was going to give it to the king. I've got it. I'll give it to you. Where is he? I want that guy now. I don't want you. I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave a hand over me, put on some big show, preach a message for 2 hours or something, blow on somebody, throw air at somebody, do whatever he's got to do, because I want that healing. I got leprosy. I thought that's what was going to happen. And then I thought I'd give him all my gold and silver and all the stuff that I had, give it all to him, because I thought he was going to be the man. I thought he would surely come and at least come down and see me. Verse 12 says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers in Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? So he was told to go. The Jordan was a little filthy. I mean, that's probably not even the right words. A lot of sediment flowed in the Jordan River. It's not like they were dumping things, like, it just picked up a lot of sediment because of where it traveled. The two rivers I just mentioned flow out of the mountains, right? It's a little cleaner. It's a little purer. This guy thought he could go in those rivers and get a healing. I thought I could just go something cleaner. I'll go there, right? Those rivers in Damascus, couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? See, I thought, church, I thought it was going to be, I'll go do it this way. I'm okay with this water. It's mountain fresh. This one's a little bit muddier, a little bit dirtier. And I'm the commander of the Syrian army. Couldn't I just go wash in these other rivers? So he turned and went off in a rage. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go in these rivers. I want to go over in that river. I want to go in something cleaner. I don't want to mess up my clothes. The Jordan River wasn't meant to be clean, but it was meant for humbling. Because a lot of things took place in the Jordan River, right? See, the Jordan River was a symbol of obedience, repentance, and cleansing throughout God's word. I'll give you one. People got baptized in that river. You may know somebody in God's word that got baptized in the Jordan River. And if it was good enough for them, I'm sure it was good enough for him a few years earlier, right? I thought I could do it different. I thought it would be different. I thought my marriage would be different. I thought. Verse 13, Naaman's servants went to him and said, listen, my father, out of respect, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? It's meaning if you would have got accolades, something really lofty in front of people, where more people would see you than some messenger at the front door, if you would have just had the opportunity to go do something great in front of everybody, like whatever it would be, wouldn't you do it? That's the question. That is the question. How much more then when he tells you go wash and be cleansed? Verse 14, so. Stop. So means I rethought it. So, I'm rethinking things. I thought it this way. My entourage of servants come up and tell me, maybe you should rethink it. And the word so shows up, says, I'm going to rethink this. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. He listened. Church, aren't you glad that you surround yourself with some godly people, some people that make you think differently? Aren't you glad that there's somebody that you can lean on and say, listen, here's what I thought, and somebody says, no, that's not what you'd be thinking. You should be thinking something different. You should be going down to the Jordan River. Why? What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? You traveled all this way and brought $5.5 million of stuff. A lot of stuff. Mule after mule after mule to carry all the gold and silver because it weighed a lot. Remember? Almost 1,000 pounds. You don't put that in the backpack. Right? I thought, you might as well. You've got nothing to lose. You're here. Ever hear that before? Man, you're here. You might as well, right? You're at church today. You're in the lobby. You're here. You might as well go into the worship center. He's not that bad. I heard him before. I thought he was okay, right? Let's try it out. He went down and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times. As the man of God, I told him, as his flesh was restored, and he became clean, just like that of a young boy. He's clean, church. Naaman's prideful thinking almost lost him a healing. Am I speaking to anybody here today? I thought is a predetermined outcome, church. I thought means I wanted it this way. It didn't happen that way. I thought it was going to happen. So that's a predetermined hit was there in that story. I'm going to go to the king first. I can't be seen going to some guy living out in the rural area. I got to go to the hub. I got to go see the king. I can't let people see me coming with all my gold and silver and clothes and entourage and chariots and horses going up to some nobody's house. I can't have that. I can't go to some nowhere church on 25th Street. They got nothing going on there. God doesn't show up there. Showed up Wednesday night. He showed up today. He showed up last Sunday. I thought he'd showed up, and he showed up. Right? Verse 15, then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. So he gets in the river. He gets dirty, but he gets clean. Isn't that funny? He didn't want to go get dirty. And when he went and got dirty, he got clean. Man, there's a sermon series in there, folks, I'm telling you. Right? He went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in the world except for the one in Israel. His thought process just changed, church. So please accept the gift from your servant. What gift? I got stuff. Pastor, I got healed that day, and I'm going to write a check, right? I'm going to write a check. It's big. God doesn't need your money. That's B-R-A-D-M-Y-E-R-S. I mean, I'm just saying, right? No. Elisha wasn't healing people for the money. Elisha wasn't healing. Now, Elisha, if you know the story, doesn't have much. Right? No riches. He didn't have 10 change of clothes type. That's a year's wage. He didn't have stuff like that. He had something better. He had the power of God. He was so full of the power of God, he didn't need to go to the front door, folks. He said, you go this time, and I'll send the power of God with you. Question, did that messenger know what was going to happen when they went down the steps to the front door? Right? I thought. The prophet answered, as surely as God lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. Elisha says, I'm not taking your money. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. Naaman had riches, he had power. Elisha had power. Verse 17, if you will not, I want to bless you, but if you're not, said Naaman, please let me, your servant. Wait. I thought something different. Now the man confesses he used to call his king his servant. Now he's calling the man he thought couldn't heal him because he didn't come to the front door. I'm your servant. be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. Please let me, your servant, take dirt from your homeland, that's what it means, and carry it. For your servant will never again make a burnt offering and sacrifice to any other god but to the Lord your God, now my God. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Ramon, that's their place where they would worship their Armenian gods, to bow down, he is leaning on my arm and I have to bow there also. I'm going to be forced to bow. Church, I don't even want to get into that part. He's asking for forgiveness because he's going to be forced to bow before some god that couldn't heal him of leprosy to keep his position. You can do your own Bible study on that. When I bow down in that temple of Ramon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. He's asking for forgiveness because he knows he's going to have to do it to maintain his position. It says, let your servant be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. See, back then, church, see, the location of the situation, the location of the God, so to speak, the deity, the sacred ground, that was sacred ground, right? He got healed there. So he's going to throw as much dirt as he can into these bags. He's going to take it back to Syria. Why? I'm going to tell you why. He's going to build an altar with Israel dirt. He's going to go to that altar and he's going to pray because the ground is associated with the God. And he knew the God of Israel healed him. So he's going to take as much dirt as he can and build himself an altar, and he's going to lean down on that altar and he's going to worship. And he's going to take as much as he can. See, those mules came with riches, but they're going back with richer things, and it's dirt. Right? To build an altar. In verse 19, Elisha says, great. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. You're thinking differently now. Your I thought moment changed. Go home and go in peace because you've got it. Take as much dirt as you need to take. Build that altar to the living God who healed you of leprosy. And now go in peace. Church, we do the exact same thing as Naaman. I thought God would heal me this way. I thought God would heal me today. I thought my life would look different today. I thought my breakthrough would come by now. I thought this time my life would be fulfilled. I thought they'd be the one, or she'd be the one, or he'd be the one. I thought God would have answered me by now. I thought things would have turned out different by now. See, one of the greatest challenges in our walk with God is managing our expectations versus God's instruction. How often have we approached a situation, people, or even God himself, and said, I thought exposes how we wrestle between our own understanding and the sovereignty of God. I thought. God, I didn't think this through. The I thought moment leads to missed miracles. See, Naaman could have missed a miracle if he would have stuck with I thought. God's plan was simple. Go down and dip 7 times in the Jordan River, you'll be healed. See, Naaman almost missed that miracle because he didn't like what he thought. How many miracles have we delayed because God's way didn't align with our expectations, church? Here's a thought for you. Sometimes God's answer is simple obedience, not fireworks. Maybe it's just come to the altar of the local church. What about this one? I thought moment. That I thought moment lowers God to our mindset. It lowers God to our mindset. Listen, I thought exposes the limits of human understanding. The best I got. It's why there's Proverbs 3:5 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because your understanding says, I thought. God's understanding is, I said. And it's different. It's very different, right? I thought is often a sign that we're learning on our own understanding, leaning on our own understanding. It shrinks God down to the size of our mind. I got a pretty small mind. God is not obligated to fit in the box of your thoughts, church. Right? He's not. We want understanding before obedience, but God wants our obedience before he grants understanding. Naaman didn't get that till later. Some of us still are living on the I thought moment. We're not there yet. We're getting closer to understanding what I just mentioned. God's looking for obedience. We want understanding first. He wants obedience first. Go down to the river. Go down to the altar. But I thought, right? But I thought. Here's another one. I thought moment can be a divine setup for spiritual growth. See, an I thought moment was a divine setup to Naaman for him to transition from serving Armenian gods to serving the one true God. And then God's going to use that moment. Sometimes it takes us, church, the I thought moment before we say, I get it. And we push the I thought moment away from us and say, Lord, whatever you have, I'll take. If it's a river, I'll take it. If it's seven times, I'll take it. What happened if he would have only dipped down six times? Nothing. God said, do it seven times. Why seven? That's God's number, right? It's a moment that he sets us up for spiritual growth. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought and reasoned like a child. But when I grew up and got beyond the I thought moment, I put away those childish things. No more I thoughts. Now it's I know, because I know who I serve. I'm friends with them. See, church, faith isn't about how we think it should happen. It's trusting in the way God wants it to happen. It's not how we think it is. It's not I thought it is. It's how trusting that God's guided no matter what, right? Remember Isaiah 55:9? For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. What does that mean, Pastor? That means when our growth comes, when we trade, I thought for God said. I thought, but God said. That's why Jesus says, it is written. Right? Man should not live on bread alone, but by every breath of the word of the living God. God said, moment. In Luke 5:5, remember this, sir? Simon replied. Jesus comes up to a boat and says, throw those nets in again. He says, well, we worked so hard all last night, we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll try again. Okay. One more time, not one dip in the water, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. I thought I would have caught a fish by now. Try again. I thought I would have got a raise by now. Try again. I thought she was going to be nicer. I thought he would be more pleasant. Try again. Go back. God's not done. God's just getting started. I wonder how many of us have the Naaman moments in our lives today. You expected a promotion, but the promotion got to somebody else. You thought the healing would come instantly, but now it's a process. You thought a relationship was the answer, but it just fell apart. Now, like Naaman, you're angry. Not because God can't do it, but because he didn't do it your way. Like Naaman, many of us are standing in the season we didn't expect to be in, facing a situation we didn't pray for, saying, Lord, I thought it would be different at this stage in my life. I thought by now things would have changed. I thought the door would have been open. Church, your Jordan River is coming. Your healing is waiting. Your next level is coming. Maybe it's you saying, I thought God would heal me this way. Maybe it's you somewhere here or watching online says, I thought God would heal me by now. Maybe it's you saying, I thought my life would look different at this stage. Maybe it's you that says, I thought my breakthrough would be here by now, Pastor. It just hasn't showed up. I thought I'd be further along. I thought I had something by now. I thought this would be the one, but it turns out she or he was not. I thought God would have answered. God, where are you? Where are you, God? I thought things would have turned out different. Pastor, help me. But maybe God's plan is just a little bit simpler than that today, church. Maybe his plan isn't a river, but maybe it's an altar. Maybe it's just an altar. Maybe if you just got out of your chair and came down to an altar, raised your hand during a song and said, Lord God, I commit to you, no more I thought. It's going to be I know. I commit to that today. I commit to you, Lord God. Maybe that's what you need to do. I don't have a Jordan River, but I got an altar. I didn't bring dirt in from Israel and build altars, but God will honor it just the same. But see, there's a requirement. You've got to go to the altar, to the Jordan River, start dipping. Church, as our worship team begins to play, I think we need to go down to the Jordan altar, Cross Point Church, and dip 7 times. Let's do that. Join me at the altar. Yeah, you can give him praise today, church. I'm going to pray here in a second and dismiss you, but I want a commitment before I leave today. And I'm going to make the commitment with you. I would never ask you to do something that your pastor wouldn't do with you. See, we need to surrender our thoughts, our expectations, and our assumptions, church. We need to ask for forgiveness for the times we missed a move of God in our lives and in our church because it didn't look like what we thought it should look like. I don't care what it looks like. I would rather have the move of God than how it looks. So, church, in your life and mine, in our church that we call home, Cross Point Church, you're watching online, you're asked to do the same thing. We're going to make a commitment today. We're going to commit to surrender these I thought moments and make the transition that says, Jesus said, I know, I believe, I'm not going to live on, I thought that service would have been different. I thought things should have been different. I thought the preacher would have preached better. I thought. I don't want the I thought. I just want Jesus. I just want to move. Church, I will guarantee you, whatever battle you're facing right now, if you leave here today making the commitment that I'm not going to live on I thought moments, I'm going to live on the every word and breath of the Lord Jesus Christ, your life changes today. You walk out of here and you say, I thought, you've already been defeated. You walk out of here today and say, I know. I serve a risen Savior. He could have preached better, but it's not about the preaching. It's about Jesus. Father God, I commit to that to you today. I'm not going to live I thoughts anymore. So church, if that is you today, slip your hand up with your pastor. If that is you, if you're making that commitment today, no more I thought. I know. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I commit to you. Cross Point Church commits to you. People watching online that are part of the Cross Point Church ministry commit to you. We're not going to live on these I thought moments. I thought it could have been better. I thought you said. I know what you said. Lord God, I commit to you today as an individual, the priest of my home, the pastor of the church. Lord God, I know that I know that I know that Jesus said that I will do more, abundantly more than you ever ask or think. And so, Lord God, I live on that. As the Apostle Paul wrote the letter, Lord God, I live today knowing that I can dip myself in the Jordan River 7 times and be healed. I'm not going to stop at 6 times, Lord God. I want the healing. And I commit to you today, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I pray. I commit to an unstoppable God. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him praise today, church. Let's go out saying, I serve an unstoppable God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.